Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Were you going to the hospital while you were living on the streets?
A lot, yeah, because of my seizures. They was coming back to back. I used to get multiple seizures. I wasn't properly taking my medications.
So is homelessness a health issue? All week, WNYC is reporting on health and healthcare in the Bronx as part of our series called Prescription for the Bronx, the least healthy county in all of New York State, according to a new Robert Wood Johnson Foundation study. Today, we'll talk about a new program in the Bronx that treats homelessness as a health issue using Medicaid funding to build supportive housing, something the state is willing to try, but so far the federal government is resisting. WNYC reporter Amanda Aronchik has reported on this, and she's joined in our studio now by Brenda Rosen, Executive Director of Common Ground, a nonprofit group that develops supportive housing, as it's known, in the New York area. Welcome.
Hi there, Brian.
So, Amanda, in that clip we played, you're talking to a woman now living in one of Common Ground's developments, Lisette Encarnacion, and we're going to hear a little more of her story right here. She's describing where she lived before this new housing development called The Brook.
You know what's Gowanus Reservoir? Under the bridge from Gowanus Reservoir. I had a house under there. I had it going on, and then I found a way to break into the bridge, and under the bridge is a room with electricity. Oh, and then I really had it going on.
Oh, boy. So tell us a little of her story and how she came to be living under that bridge in Brooklyn.
Well, Lisette, I think she had a very difficult life. So I think even before she had this traumatic event, she had some issues with mental health, and she had grown up with some violence in her household. And when she was about 18, she met her husband, and they were married, and they moved in together, and she had a son. And from what she could tell of what happened in her past, he was an alcoholic, and he was also abusive. So when her son was 5 years old, her husband came home and threw her out the window, according to Lisette. And this was the start of a whole cascade of problems for her. So it was several stories up, and the injury was very dramatic, and she'd had epilepsy as a child. And so it sort of compounded health issues that she already had, as well as a traumatic brain injury. And so she was in the hospital for months, and her sister took her and her kid in. And at the time, she was also pregnant. So she had her second child, and the whole family moved to Massachusetts. And Lisette said that for a while, she was sort of keeping it together, and she would sort of stay. But then, in her words, she would wander off from her sister's house.
And so housing as a health issue. And so, Brenda Rosen, maybe you can tell us how Lisette found The Brook and what The Brook is.
Sure. So The Brook is a supportive housing residence, and supportive housing is affordable housing with on-site support services. Common Ground found Lisette because Common Ground has outreach teams that go out on the streets of Brooklyn and Queens every day and every night to find homeless people and work with them and help them realize that they can come inside and have a stable home with the supports necessary to be successful again.
Now, we can take some calls on this if anybody has something to add or to ask. Healthcare workers, maybe ER physicians, do you see homeless New Yorkers repeatedly who would be better served by different services? Do the idea of supportive housing make you think that if more people could take advantage of it, you would see fewer patients in your ER? Does this idea of using Medicaid to fund supportive housing for homeless people make sense to you as policy, as use of government resources? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Amanda, talk about this as a policy issue.
Well, just to be clear, they do fund services. And I think Brenda, you can elaborate. The funding services for people who are chronically homeless within permanent supportive housing is already happening. And the question was really
about – You mean specifically health-related services?
Health-related services, that's right. So people have social workers, or they'll be able to go see their doctor, or on-site services, counseling, case management. The question is more about who will actually pay for building the buildings. And that's the question is, does it make sense to use health insurance dollars to build buildings?
And you're trying to get this for The Brook?
The book Brooke is up already, but we do have it for our next residence that'll open in mid-2015. And so part of our capital funding is coming directly from Medicaid dollars.
New York State Medicaid
New
dollars.
New York State so Medicaid
at the,
dollars.
At the state level, many listeners would probably not have known until this moment that some Medicaid dollars do go to build housing as mm-hmm. a means toward keeping people in the state healthy. Now, we also have a clip of Jason Helgerson, who is New York State's Medicaid director, from your reporting, Amanda, explaining why, though he supports this, the federal government, Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, did not agree to federal matching funds for this purpose.
CMS, I think, is mainly concerned about the fact that they're concerned that if all of a sudden you open the door for Medicaid funding for housing, there are lots of people all across the country who have substandard housing or need housing assistance. And they're fearful that it'll become a major new cross-category in the Medicaid program.
So, Amanda, that sounds like a reasonable concern to some degree, the slippery slope.
I think it is a reasonable concern, and I spoke with Dr. Bruce Vladek as well, who ran Medicaid under Clinton, and he had similar concerns. He just said, you know, in New York, we're known for having a giant Medicaid program. It's very expensive, and we're trying to curb it. So does putting something else like housing, which seems like something that could be a little bit never-ending or very big program and very expensive, does it make sense to put it and pay for it as under Medicaid?
So, Brenda, do you want to make the case? Why is New York State willing – why should anyone be willing to devote tax dollars, Medicaid dollars, to housing? Are there studies that indicate there are actually measurable outcomes in terms of public health?
There are studies that indicate that when somebody comes into supportive housing and receives the services that they need to remain stable, there are savings. So on average, and this was one of the first studies done, I think that as time goes on and we collect more data, we're going to see greater savings. But right now, the average savings for somebody coming from homelessness into housing with supports is $10,000 a year. Half of the country's homeless population struggles with mental health issues, with chronic substance abuse issues, with chronic health conditions. These folks are the people that cycle in and out of the ERs, the psychiatric hospitals, the jails. And those crisis services are very expensive. So it's costing roughly $56,000 a year to keep somebody homeless. And it costs less than half of that to have somebody stably housed with the supports that they need, and which results in decreased use of emergency rooms and hospitals.
Let's take a call. Carolyn in Dutchess County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carolyn.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my call, Brian.
Sure. What do you want to say?
I guess, you know, I'm extremely sensitive to the entire issue. I've been a single parent raising two kids for the better part of 20 years, worked full-time, yet struggled often to pay medical bills, to pay housing costs, and so forth, and have had to rely on and off on Medicaid for my children. However, I would never, never expect the government to pay my housing costs out of Medicaid. I think those issues should remain separate and that we should devote more resources to the medical side of this issue, where I do agree that, you know, housing is kind of a perpetual, it's a vicious cycle. When somebody doesn't have housing, there's enormous stress on them, and they could be predisposed to mental issues that, you know, perhaps if they were feeling comfortable and safe and sound with their own home, they would not perhaps wander off, so to speak, or, you know, kind of go on the fringe of mental stability, but that still remains a mental issue. We need to devote resources, in my opinion, to helping people be able to afford housing in a safe and sound environment, but no way do I accept that it should be a Medicaid issue. Not at all. I respectfully disagree with that.
I mean, I think that the fundamental argument is that this is about resources and about money, and being able to save Medicaid dollars in order to provide safe, stable housing to individuals will allow reinvestment of Medicaid dollars into other things. So I think from a purely monetary argument, I appreciate and understand exactly what you're saying. But at the end of the day, we are saving additional dollars that can be used for other things and providing safe, secure, stable housing and giving people an opportunity to have a decent quality of life.
I guess you'll agree to disagree. Carolyn, thanks for chiming in.
Thank you so much.
And Barbara in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. I just want to reinforce and advocate of stable housing for the homeless. I think that's the key to them being rehabilitated. They have to have some place to go to in the evening, which is permanent for them and individualized for them. And if they can't afford it, then I think it's up to the state to do that.
Thank you very much. And Brenda, I see that your group, Common Ground, their website says you use, quote, innovative financing strategies to build housing. So that's justification, I guess, that is to say that Congress won't support housing programs with enough money. So they have an arm's length relationship with health spending to reclassify homelessness as a health issue. But that's sort of the innovative financing strategy that you're using for supportive housing, or one of them, is to get these health dollars funneled in, right?
That's absolutely true. Yeah. I mean, we'll be housing the highest users of Medicaid dollars. And our goal and our expectation is that those costs will be decreased.
Before you go, Amanda, that study that we referred to in the introduction that found the Bronx to be the least healthy county in the state, it used some unusual criteria for that determination, including violent crime stats and the number of fast food outlets. So do you see this as a sea change in how we define health? And New York is just ahead of the curve in its willingness to, define on the basis of fast food outlets, for example, not just measurable heart disease and things like that. And then that ties to this idea of a willingness to fund housing as a health expense to stretch these definitions?
Absolutely. That's what I saw, exactly what I saw in all the months of reporting and spending time in the Bronx, was you had all these healthcare professionals that knew that they needed to, under the Affordable Care Act, reduce costs. And they were trying to find, while keeping quality up, and so they had to find innovative ways to do what they do, which is keep people healthy. And all of the time I was seeing them outside of what you know, the doctor's office, traditional doctor's office where you sit down and you are a patient. But this is, you had health professionals who were talking about food, who were talking about nutrition, who were talking about housing, who were talking about unemployment. And this does seem to be the way that that healthcare is moving.
Oh, here's a doctor calling in, I think, who wants to say that housing is relevant to the health of the patients. Clarissa in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Clarissa.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yep.
I wanted to mention we have patients who we have on glaucoma medicine, which basically prevents them from going blind. And when patients are on these drops, they need to take them consistently. And a patient yesterday was telling me he's not able to take his drops throughout the day because he's wandering the streets. He doesn't have anywhere to go during the day. And he's also on a diuretic medication, which is preventing him from going blind, and he doesn't have a place to urinate during the day. So that's a medical issue. He may go blind.
Clarissa, thank you very much. Before you go, Brenda, how many people, if you can put a precise number to it, are able to take advantage of New York State's agreement to fund this with Medicaid spending? How many people have supportive housing now because healthcare dollars are being used in the housing sector?
Well, this is in its infancy. So right now, the building that we'll be occupying and opening in mid-2015 will be the first building using this stream of funding. So we'll be moving 155 folks in. Having said that, the state has dedicated over $200 million over the next couple of years towards this, and there are a robust number of projects in the pipeline. So I think over the next few years, working together to build supportive housing, using this funding to help folks that are highest cost users of Medicaid, and to be able to track it in a very, very intense way will show that the savings is very significant.
And if the federal government were agreed to match these funds, as they match many state Medicaid programs, but so far they're refusing on this one, what would that mean?
That would mean that we'd be building, developing, and helping additional people and saving more money. And I think that the federal government should watch New York as we move forward.
And you don't need the Republican Congress to sign off on this, just the Obama administration's Medicaid directors?
There you go.
We will see if anything changes on that in Washington as we leave it there for today. All week, WNYC is reporting on health and health care in the Bronx. It's our series called Prescription for the Bronx. And in that context, I've been speaking with WNYC reporter Amanda Aronchik and Brenda Rosen, executive director of Common Ground. Thank you both so much.
Thanks so much.